I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, we're back now talking some high school hockey with Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar. And coach, the season is over, so I'm sure it's kind of bittersweet at this point for you.
Yeah, I actually just called my coach on the phone and said, hey, I'm running behind. Can you sign the kids in at the back door? Started laughing. You know, it's bittersweet. You love to go to the game. You love to go to the rink, be with the kids, you know, prepare them for a game. And it's kind of weird because every other year, you never know when your last game is when you're in the playoffs.
Right.
We knew when our last game was, and, you know, it was kind of weird. One of our kids said it, you know, this is the first time we know when we're playing our last game, and they were right. And fortunately, we came out on top. We were able, you know, they play their song that they play after every win, but it was really bittersweet. You know, I told them how proud I was of them for everything they've had to go through. Their lives have been upside down. Hockey-wise, no locker room, no team dinners, no camaraderie stuff. And yet they still came and worked their tails off every single day and ended up, you know, with a nice reward.
Yeah, and I think it's a special season in so many ways, obviously emotionally in particular, and what some families and people have had to go through. But the other thing we were talking about before we started recording is, you know, bringing Maskenomen into the league. And talk about a big school versus a small school. And, you know, Masco has dominated pretty much the Cape Ann League for years. They come into the Northeastern Conference and have done pretty much the same thing in the fall and winter sports. But, damn, you got to be really proud of the way your kids have played against Masco.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I tell my kids, listen, there's one puck on the ice. We don't play reputations. We don't play records. We don't play, you know, the newspaper. We play hockey. And as long as we prepare for the game the way we want to play it, not the way we have to adjust. If we have to adjust, we'll adjust. But we play. We come to the rink with standards every day to play our system. We practice our system inside and out. And as long as we're doing that and playing the game honest and smart, we can play against anybody. And, you know, we have in the past. I mean, we've beaten Super 8 teams. We've beaten some big teams. And it's all because you got to believe in yourself. So when Masco came in, yeah, everybody's like, oh, my God, Masco and Amundsen in our league now. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, you want the iron. You want to test yourself against the best. And so for me, this has been a win-win. You know, that now we have confidence, you know, that our program can compete against them. And we've done, you know, we won and lost. We took 3 or 4 points. So, you know, for me, it's been a win-win for our program and our kids.
Coach, you mentioned something earlier, and I think you even mentioned it last year about chasing that one point. You got to tell that story again about how you coach the kids and how receptive they are and what happens sometimes when you don't get 2 points, when you get 1 point instead of two.
Well, and again, especially when you blow a lead. You know, if you come from behind, you know, we came from behind against Masco, and, you know, we had a chance to win the game that we tied with a minute to go. A kid was one-on-one with the goalie, and goalie made a nice play on him. But so that was like a moral victory for us, and almost like a loss for them. And same thing with us against Peabody this year in one of our first games. You know, no slight to Peabody. They played hard right till the end. But when you blow a 3-goal lead in the third at home, especially, and you have the game under control, that's like losing. And my coach, my assistant Mike Norris, always says, don't be chasing that 1 point. We always do every year. Play every game hard, no matter who we're playing. And I think, you know, it's human nature. You play up when you're playing against the best, and you have a tendency to let your guard down and play a little different when you're playing against a team that you probably should beat. And we were up 4-1 in the third against Peabody. And I warned them about it. You know, we always talk about win the third, win the game. You know, play smart between the whistles, no feel-good penalties, nothing like that. And all of a sudden it was 4-2, then 4-3. They tied us 4-4, and I'm not so sure if there was more time on the clock that we may have lost that game.
Oh, boy.
So there's your point. There's the point, the huge point that we talk about, because now we'd be, you know, the exact same record as Masco. So, and they can, and I'm sure anybody can look at their schedule and say, hey, listen, Masco's probably looking at us saying, hey, listen, if we didn't blow that, blah, blah, blah. But it's that elusive point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're talking about teaching the kids. You're not talking, yeah. You're not complaining about losing a game or anything. I totally understand that. And I think it's all the more remarkable, Coach. You talk with great pride almost every single time we talk about your defense. And, you know, you gave up 4 goals in that game, and yet your defense allowed way fewer goals than anybody else in the league. So the kids really, they learned the lesson, I think, after that.
Yeah, I think we only gave up 20 goals this season, which is, again, for any team, it's a great indicator that you're going to be in every game. And we always talk to our kids, it's a game to 3. If you can get to 3, you should have a really good chance to win the game. So you battle, you know, you claw, scrape, whatever to get to 3. And then hopefully all your defense and everything you work on, game situations works out.
Before we talk about some of the kids, Coach, I want to ask you about the culture in Winthrop, because I came to Massachusetts in 1965, and we used to go to the old Lynn Arena to see the games there. We'd see 4 or 5 games in a frigid night, and Winthrop always was incredibly tough back then as well, and always played great. And then I learned how small a community Winthrop is, and I'm just astounded that year in and year out, and not just in hockey, but especially hockey and probably football, you guys just turn out the athletes. So do you have, I know you're a very busy guy, but do you have, you know, cases where you sit around and have some coffee with some of the guys, the old timers or parents or whatever, and just talk Winthrop hockey?
Yeah, actually, a man that used to run the rink when I was a kid down here, Howie Conley, he was a great player growing up in Winthrop. He comes to every single one of our games, and, you know, he's almost like a surrogate dad to me, you know, always giving me suggestions, you know, critiquing everything that comes with it. And we always talk about the Lewis Lake days and the tennis courts and the pride that was really set a long time ago. And I did a ceremony when we hit the 50 years of Winthrop hockey, and so many people came back, and so many people had the stories about, you know, loading up, you know, Mr. Mort Buckley and Larry Larson's cars to go to the Revere rink because we didn't have a rink. we actually had the ledger. It's on our wall inside the lobby of the rink with all the kids' names on it who are now in their 60s and 70s. You know, having they paid a quarter to get on the ice.
Yep, yep.
And the check marks next to their name. So we've had a great, you know, tradition. So we do sit around once in a while and say, you know, we're only a mile square. And I think it's a great tribute to our dads and everybody that played before us to keep that passion. And we tell our kids all the time, you know, you're not just playing for yourselves. You're playing for a program that was gave to you a long time ago, and you're just a part of it. So don't think anything else except, you know, stepping every time you step on that ice, you're stepping on the ice, you know, to continue to be successful and, you know, carry all the principles and everything that have been there for so many years for all of us. I was a big beneficiary of it. Mike Ruzioni, huge beneficiary of it. So we all know where we came from, and, you know, we always say you can't swing a dead cat in this town without being related to somebody. And it's true. I mean, the Ruzionis, the Fusillos, the Jaworskis, they're all famous 3-decker.
Mm-hmm.
All the games, the street hockey games, everything that's always come with it all pays dividends in our high school program.
I love it, man. I just love it. And I think the great thing about sports is that in a geographic area the size of the North Shore, you know, going from Winthrop to Rockport up to, up to Newburyport, once you start talking sports, high school sports, and in my case, especially hockey, it becomes a backyard. You know, everybody can talk the same language, and I love that. Do any of the kids ever ask about the number that they're wearing? Has that ever happened?
Not really. No, no. You know, as we know, it's a different culture today, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video games and the tech world have really taken a lot of the creativity out of kids. You know, you don't see the street hockey or the pond. Well, it doesn't get cold enough to play really outside anymore.
Right.
But there's a lot of other things on these kids' plates today rather than just, you know, that passion. Can't wait for the school bell to ring so you can go play. You know, for some kids it's there, but as a whole, I'm not so sure as a society. So, yeah, I think from a number standpoint or history, you know, I'm sure everybody wants to wear 21 because of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had, you know, a few kids, obviously their fathers have worn it before them, or maybe an uncle or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, for most, I just think they're proud to put the uniform on, like any one of us was. You know, I just couldn't wait. We talked about it the other day, the 76 team, and Bobby McDonald, what a magician he was with the puck. And I can remember standing five rows deep, trying to jump on my, you know, tippy toes to see Bobby coming down over the blue line. That's how crazy the rinks were all over.
Yeah.
You know, the Lynn Arena, Winthrop, you know, Gloucester. It was really a true, unbelievable conference. And, you know, to be an NEC All-Star or to represent anything with the NEC, that was huge. And I, you know, I'm not so sure we have that anymore and can never get it back. But to have that one rink where you could watch three or four games on one admission, I mean, the hockey junkies were in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, it's really, it's not that way. And it was an era that was truly, you know, we talk about the greatest era. You know, I really believe back then everything was about that sport and season. Your school came out and supported you. Everybody, the town, everybody was there at the rink, couldn't wait. It's like going to a Bruins game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, but, you know, again, times have changed, eras have passed, and you just hope that now you can keep programs. The numbers are down. I mean, it's with the economic status, you know, all the money and the cost and everything, it takes a lot to be able to keep programs alive right now.
Yeah, that's true. And does Winthrop still have an athletic activity fee?
Oh, yeah. We still have one. And, you know, again, you have a son or a daughter playing three sports or multiple siblings. You know, it gets expensive.
I read somewhere this year that somebody, I forget, I think it was up at the Cape Ann League, their family, they spent $20,000 in athletic fees during the course of their kids' high school.
You know what? I don't doubt it. I really don't doubt that.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. It's expensive.
Oh my God. Yeah, good stuff, man. Good. And one more question about that. Did you ever have, you know, I remember, before all these other hockey rinks were built, when I first came up here and played, pond hockey, we used to get some ice time at, the old outdoor rink at Gordon College. And that was on a Saturday night, like at 2 a.m. And then we had some ice time over at Twin Rinks. And lo and behold, we're there about one time, like at 1 o'clock in the morning, and Mike Milbury pops in with his, gang, you know, just pick up players, after we did. As a high school player or even before that, did you ever have to get up and go to practice early, like at 5 a.m. at Lynn Arena or something like that?
No, I was extremely fortunate to have grown up, you know, the Winthrop Rink was built in 73, so I got a lot. I was the beneficiary of my junior high and high school years here. But youth hockey, we had East Boston and Revere, the Cronin Rink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had to get up for some early practices. But, you know, again, we were extremely lucky to be able to have rinks with the proximity. I mean, I think it's East Boston's probably a mile, you know, to that rink, and uh-huh. And the same distance to the Revere rink. So we were extremely lucky. And then travel hockey, you know, you had to go to Wilmington or whatever. But, you know, I listened to the stories, again, of the Howie Conley, person I spoke about before, mm-hmm. And all those guys, yes, they would have to go to Revere and East Boston and grab that 2 a.m. practice or 2 a.m. You know, rental just to be able to skate. But Mike Ruzzoni talks about bringing his skates to school and going out on a, you know, going out on a, on a, an open, class right out onto the tennis court across the street.
Awesome.
And it was frozen, and it was shoveled, and it was there for that reason. It was sort of like an option. And I can remember going down there and sitting on a snowbank waiting for your turn. if you could even get in. You were frozen. Your feet were frozen.
Yeah.
You might get the nod from an older kid. Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
it was like getting called up to the Bruins.
I remember skating in a pond one time in Cape Ann, and the puck went over toward the edge, and I went over here to get the puck, and of course, my foot went in because the ice wasn't solid there, and I went back on the ice, it froze, you know, the pant leg froze, and so my feet were warm, and you finished up, kept playing. Oh, those were the days, man. But you know what, Coach? This is a year that the kids are going to remember. And dare I say it, at least in terms of hockey and Winthrop hockey and maybe the whole Northeastern Conference,
yeah.
It's going to be a year that they remember with pleasure because so competitive. And I think you'll agree that the product on the ice was outstanding, and the games that your kids won and competed in were excellent games. And I wonder if you might reflect a little bit on some of your kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it starts with goaltending. I mean, my senior captain, Ryan Hovindel, I mean, he literally stole some games for us, which, you know, you have to ask of your goaltender once in a while. But some of the 10 bell saves he made, they weren't so surprising to me because I see him do it in practice. He competes big time in practice. And, you know, he was outstanding for us. He's a leader. He's a quiet kid, but when it comes out, when he knows how to bring it out at the right time, you know, it's like, yeah, fun. You get the message, you know. And, Holgerson, one of our other captains, Joey Holgerson. I mean, this kid, I believe he would have been, you know, a 3-year all-star. He's just a special kid.
Mm-hmm.
Big goals, never comes off the ice in situations that we needed him in. Never complained, plays through injury. Again, just a real, real special kid. And then we had some young kids that really stepped up. We had a couple of freshmen. Are you there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here. You betcha.
Sorry. Nope. Had a couple of freshmen that really stepped up, Silverman and Hayes and then again we had, one of our other assistants, Joey Hayes, never came off the ice on defense. Another kid, a warrior. He'd have to break his leg, and even then he'd probably sneak on. But just, those kids, and then the complimentary of our other seniors, Lane and Hurley, and we had some really, really good, complimentary people, you know, leading us.
That's tremendous. And, Coach, I know that you can't have a banquet this year, at least in person, but I'm just wondering, maybe down the road when all this thing is over, if you'll have a reunion for this team somehow, if either the parents get together and do it or the players do. But, you know, you're going to have to do something with these guys because you are co-champions.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, we always have that picture that we take. And I love the locker room pictures when it's just shoulder pads and, you know, they're all over each other and, you know, hugging each other because it's probably for some of them the last game as a team they'll ever be on.
Yeah.
And, it's sad, but it's, you know, it's life and, they deserve it. You're right. We didn't have a banquet last year. Don't know what it's going to bring this year. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, congratulations, Coach, and we will talk again, because next time I catch you, maybe next week, I want to talk about the Bruins pond hockey from yesterday.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, boy, that setting was unbelievable.
It was, and I was talking with Barry Hanrahan, the VP and assistant general manager of the Flyers, former student of mine, and he was just in awe of that place out there. So I'm gonna bug you again. That is Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.